Editing's gonna be so fun for you this week.
Timey-wimey shit. Welcome to the Incoherent Fangirl.
Where I'm back, babies. Did you miss me?
Welcome back.
Thank you.
I am Karen from Calder Academy.
You're gonna love this. I'm Mandy of Entangled Publishing.
Oh, I
You see
do
what I
love
did there?
that. I do. I see what you did there. That is very clever. And
Yeah.
you'll understand once you get to the meat of this episode, guys. So
Yeah. I haven't do you want to do our timey-wimey? Because I didn't get to listen to
oh,
last
you haven't
week's
listened to it yet?
episode yet because it comes out tomorrow, because timey-wimey
Yes.
stuff.
Timey-wimey stuff, because in our timeline, it is May 2nd, and in y'all's timeline, it is May 10th. So Mandy has not quite yet been able to listen to last week's episode
No.
because it has not gone live yet,
Comes out our
which
tomorrow.
is not to say that she doesn't have access to it. It just,
Is it
it's
loaded
easy.
yet? I didn't know. I didn't know if it
It
was
is
loaded or
loaded.
not.
Yes.
I had to drive to the airport today, so
I know. It's okay. It's okay.
I wanted to like explain where I was last week because I was supposed to have a hysterectomy last week. I don't want to get like too TMI with why, but I have a lot of pain issues. They believe it's adenomyosis, which is endometriosis's cousin. Just where is a little bit different. And I was so pumped for it. I'm like, I can't wait to be out of this pain. This is going to be great. It's just going to be some heat, like downtime. I don't know that I want to. I was supposed to have it Monday. I don't know that I'm going to want to be sitting up on for a podcast 3 days later. So I'm going to take the week off. I thought I was going to be like working some, like for my 9 to 5 that week. And the Friday before, actually, if you watched the video episode from 2 weeks ago now, you could probably tell I had been crying. I had been crying like Thursday afternoon. I just started crying.
Yeah, she was
And
struggling.
all day Friday, I cried. And so I was like, I don't know where this is coming from. Am I just being like hormonal? And I realized that I'm 34 years old and not quite ready to close the door on babies yet. Like I thought, like it wasn't that I wanted to close the door on ever having children. Like that wasn't it. It was just like I want to get rid of this pain and I'm okay with not having
Not having
children.
kids.
I still will, like I would be okay if it's not in the cards for us, but something about like physically closing that door at 34 hit me a lot harder than I thought that it was going to. And so, like I said, I cried most of Thursday. I had to pull it together, like to record the podcast. I was doing like deep breathing before I logged in to be able to not just sob, especially when I saw my bestie like trying to talk me through it. And then Friday, when I talked to my husband, I talked to my mom, and then I talked to my boss, and all of them, you know, were like, we want to do what you want. Like, if you are going to be so happy having the surgery, that's what we want for you. If you're not sure and you want to cancel, no, like, I was like, everybody's going to be mad at me because I've got everybody all hyped up. Karen's going to be mad because she's got, you know, somebody lined up for me to not be there. And I just like felt so guilty, but everybody was like, no one wants you to have a surgery you don't think you're ready for. So I decided at 34, 3 days before I was supposed to have surgery, that it was not the vibe yet. I still want to do it. I think I want to be 40 maybe instead of 34. So since Karen already had everything set up for last week, I was just like, I'm not going to ask you to cancel on what I now know is Beth and Joanna. So I just kind of took the week off, but I wanted to be transparent in that because I don't know if anyone else might ever be in a situation like that that's listening to this, who knows, like I have something medical scheduled that while necessary is not an emergency and I'm having second thoughts, you're allowed to have those. And those feelings are valid and you can change your mind up until they put you under and then you can't talk anymore. So I just like, I know that's a lot to dump on our listeners, but I just want you to like feel as validated as all of my people made me feel like whatever you want is valid. Now you can't keep your appendix if it's rupturing.
Well,
Okay. There
that's
are some
different.
surgeries you got to
Your
do.
appendix is not necessary for you to live or do
Right.
like literally
Right.
anything. It's useless.
You got to do
And if
the
that thing
emergency
burst,
surgeries.
you need to get rid of that thing.
Yeah.
Yeet
You
that
got to
thing
do
out.
those. But if there's something that you that could help you, but you're not ready for, that's okay.
At the end of the day, you are the only person living in your body.
Yep.
So you need to make sure that you are happy with what you're doing.
Yeah. And if you are not, you don't have to justify it to anybody. I was trying to over justify it to everybody. And they were like, like, I have a very sweet friend here who had made me like a recovery basket. And I felt so guilty. And she was like, why? All of these things you can use for the pain that you will still have by not having surgery.
Right.
She had like heating pads and a weighted blanket and some snacks and stuff like that. She's like, you can use this now. Like,
yeah,
I don't want you to have surgery if you don't want to.
Are right.
you crazy? Everybody I talked to in the nicest way possible was like, are you crazy? Like, you don't have to apologize. You don't have to explain. We're here for you. And they're like, if you do, if a kid is in the cards for you and that happens a year from now, we're going to be so thrilled you didn't do the surgery.
Exactly.
All I kept thinking in my head was, what if someone's supposed to be here? And I'm not, like, I'm closing the door on them existing. And I was like, I can't do that yet. Yeah. If I don't have kids, I won't have kids. And that's fine. But what if I close the door too early?
That's valid. You're like, I told you, like, your emotions are valid. Like, but at the end of the day, you do have to do what's best for you, not only physically, but mentally. If you're sitting here crying for 2 days straight, clearly it's not the best thing
that
for
was
you
something.
Mentally.
And when I said, I think I want to postpone, like when I said it out loud to my husband, it was like a weight lifted.
Yeah.
And of course he was like, are you sure? You know, because you will still be in the pain that you're having this for.
Right.
But great. If you're fine with that, nobody's going to force you.
Exactly.
And my doctor's office was wonderful. They were like, okay, just call us back when you're ready. No rush. So that's where I was, guys.
And honestly, that's how it should be. Everybody should be allowed to make decisions about their own body.
I don't know why I was so surprised that the people that I surround myself with were so loving and supporting. And like,
it's because anxiety.
Yes. Anxiety lied to me a lot. And it was like, everybody's going to be mean to you. They're
going
to laugh you out of town. They're going to be like, why would you make us go through all, like, my mom had like cooked me some food so that I wouldn't have to cook. And she was like, it's stuff I had. And she was like, but it's like I don't bring you food anyway. She does. She'll like randomly bring me Tupperware full of stuff. She's like, it's literally chicken and dumplings. Like, it's going to be okay. I think I'll survive having spent half an hour making you dinner. It's going to be okay.
Yeah. And you got a break from the podcast, which is fine because we got to introduce our listeners to Beth, who I talk about
I
weekly.
I can't wait to listen.
Bring back Joanna. It was a good time. So everybody's happy. We're all good. Mandy is here and she has done what is best for her. And that's
and
all
everybody
we could ask
go
for.
Comment on where you're listening and tell me you're not mad at me.
Yeah, she probably needs that a little bit, guys. So that sound means we have an intruder alert.
This is a repeat offender.
We are so excited, you guys. We've got Tracy Wolf back. This time we're talking about Sweet Nightmare. It is the spinoff series after the Crave series, which if you have not read the Crave series, you should get on
You
that.
Haven't been listening to me.
Yeah.
Because I've been screaming about Hudson for a while.
It's excellent. And now we get to continue living in that world for a little bit longer. Welcome back, Tracy. We're so excited to have you.
Well, I'm so excited to be here. You guys are amazing. I think I said exciting and not excited. I'm so excited to be here. Sorry, I'm like I said, a little jet lagged before we started this. But I'm so excited to be here. You guys are so fun and I really love doing interviews with you. So I'm really thrilled that you asked me back.
Thank you.
I mean, you
so
are exciting to be here. Like, we're really excited.
You are. It's very exciting to have you here.
Very sweet. You're very sweet.
All righty. So I did just give like a really, really brief like background, I guess, for Sweet Nightmare. But if you want to give us the elevator pitch for the book for anybody who hasn't heard of it.
I'm going to tell you I'm terrible at elevator pitches. So it's probably going to be more like, I don't know, a really long escalator pitch.
We're here for that.
Sweet Nightmare does take place in the Crave world. It is the first of the Calder Academy series and it is standalone. You can read it without ever having read the Crave series. It's a little darker, a little more horror-y, like horror light vibe, I think is, you know, with humor is kind of what we were going for. And it is the story of Clementine Calder. She is the daughter of the headmistress of Calder Academy. And Calder Academy is an academy for rogue and delinquent paranormals, people who've abused their power or lost control of their power or have had some other, you know, situation. And they're kind of all locked away here on this island that is a prison but isn't a prison for teenagers. And it follows her story as a huge hurricane kind of bears down on the island. Clementine is a manticore. She's related to a character in the Crave series named Calder, Carolina Calder, but we knew her as Calder. And so she was actually her childhood best friend and her cousin. And so anyway, we follow her story on this island as a massive hurricane comes bearing down. And as she falls in love with her enemy, who used to be her best friend, who is now her, she doesn't know what, but he's really hot and a lot of really interesting things are happening. And his name is Jude Abernathy Lee. And there are ghosts and nightmares that have run amok. Oh, Jude is an Aroy. He's a little more than that, but that's what we think or we know at the beginning. And that is like a dream walker, dream daemon, except he's kind of got the nightmare vibe going. And yeah, there you go. All hell breaks loose. All hell
Thank
breaks
you for
loose.
Pronouncing that for me, because
yes.
I have no idea.
Yeah,
I have no
it's
idea.
An Aroy. Like, it's that's in ancient Greek. It's an Aroy, and I admit that I listened to it several times myself to make sure that
yeah,
that
I
I had
should
the
have googled it.
pronunciation right.
How do you say that?
I know. I
Like,
thought about that too while I was reading. I was like, this. I listened the whole Crave series on audiobook, so I was like, everything's been pronounced for me, and now I'm like, oh no, I have to do it myself.
Yeah, like I've known the word like for many, many years because I love Greek mythology, but I think I had never really heard it pronounced either. And
yeah,
so I was
I've
like,
seen
you
it.
know.
I've never heard it.
Yeah,
I love that.
So
yeah,
so yeah, Aneroy. And
I like how you say that it's a prison but kind of not, because like how much of a prison can like an island in the Gulf of Mexico be?
Right.
So
I
like
mean,
she's
people
complaining
pay a lot of
about
money to go there for
environment.
spring break.
Yeah. She's complaining about
island,
this environment,
you,
and
some
I'm
of
like,
the other islands.
I would commit some paranormal crimes to be there. Like, I'm
Right?
just saying.
Well,
Is
you
it
know,
really that bad?
the whole idea for that came is a friend of mine was writing a book several years ago, and she had told me there's this highway that goes, this is what she had found in her research. There's a highway that runs between Galveston and Houston, right? And Galveston is right on the coast, and the island is off the coast, you know? And on that island, they say that there are more active serial killers working, or not on that island, excuse me, on that highway. There are more active serial killers working than anywhere else in the United States. Like, women particularly
Ooh.
tend to disappear from that stretch. So anytime she drives down there way more often than I do. And so anytime that she's on that island, she's always like, make sure the car is in tip top shape and make sure that, you know, she's not going to break down. She has enough gas, all of those things. Cause it's a pretty, you know, from what I understand, a pretty scary thing. And, you know, because I'm a writer, I kept thinking like, what if it's not serial killers? What if it's, you know, vampires or dark magic fae or something like that? Like, what if there's like a paranormal force at work there? And so anyway, when it came time to set this academy, I kind of thought that area was kind of a really interesting place to put it.
I like that.
That's really cool to know.
Yeah.
Right. And it's really fun. Oh, go ahead.
No, I want to hear what you have to say.
I was going to say, it's really fun because then you also get to play with like extreme heat, right? Because the big joke, I'm from Austin, Texas. That's where I've been living for gosh, almost 2 decades. And the joke in Texas now is we're not afraid of hell because we have August. So I set the book
I
at the
feel that in
very, very
Georgia.
beginning, right? Yeah, exactly. In New Orleans and that whole area.
Yeah.
So I set the book there instead of like the extreme cold of Alaska. I set it in the extreme heat of the Gulf of Mexico at the beginning of September. And so it's a whole
That's a
different kind of thing
lot.
with tempers fraying and like as electricity goes out, there's no air conditioning and
And
all the
that's when you're
things.
going to
Yeah.
kill people. That's when the
Yeah, of
serial
course.
killers come
Exactly.
out.
It's not a shock that
And I
the
like
people
the
die.
heat.
Right?
I've only spent like a night in Texas because my husband's a ghost hunter. So like he
Oh, very
has
cool.
Yeah. And so we were staying, he was ghost hunting somewhere in Louisiana, but it was like right on the border. So our Airbnb was in Texas, but I'd like to get to like the Galveston area at some point and
Oh my
just
gosh,
like
well, there's a ton of
see.
like history there, right? And a ton of ghosts. Like Calder
Yeah.
Academy, I invented the island where it's like an old like Victorian resort, you know, from like the
Yeah, I want to go
resort
there.
cure time. Like, I don't know if you've ever read like The Yellow Wallpaper, which I think I referenced in
Oh,
Crave
I
or
told
that
my
kind of thing,
nieces all
right?
about it. Yeah.
Yeah, so like this whole like resort vibe, but like it's an abandoned resort, so it's kind of falling down and not in great shape, and there are absolutely ghosts and nightmares and a bunch of other things running amok on the island, and also paranormals with attitude problems and too much power when the lights go out
Stuck in the
and the air
dance hall.
conditioning turns off.
<It's>...
Right? It's a recipe for disaster and a giant hurricane bearing down.
Oh.
You know, like is there anything else I could do to, like, you know, make this as torturous as possible for people? I'm not sure.
Karen lightly experienced a little bit of hurricane last year for like the first time. Didn't you get like outer bands of the hurricane in LA? Did you have rain or something from that?
Yeah. Oh my gosh, well, right?
Yeah, I was in LA that weekend when we were on hurricane watch. And it's so funny because it was like anybody who, because that was the weekend of Steamy LitCon, so we had a bunch of out-of-towners in the area. And anybody who was like experienced a hurricane was like, okay, we need to leave right now.
Yeah, she's texting and, me like, we're under hurricane watch and I'm in Georgia. I'm like, you gotta get out. Like,
and
you
everybody
go.
And everybody who lived here was like, it's not actually gonna get to us, guys. It's gonna be fine. It's gonna be fine. It's weird, but it's gonna be fine.
Well, it's always scary, right? That like, it's gonna be weird. It's not gonna get to us, but we're gonna be fine. And then like, what happens if like suddenly it shifts or something? That's so like, when you live in like our area, like you really worry about that. Like in Austin, I just get outer bands of rain. Like it never works its way up. Mm-hmm. But I went to grad school in New Orleans. And so anyway, we had to evacuate. My son was very young and we had to evacuate. There was a hurricane, not Katrina, headed straight at us. And my dogs have just decided to bark a cacophony. If you hear that in the background,
no,
I apologize.
We love them. I love dogs. So
so they are like very unhappy at this moment. I think my partner locked them away to keep them from being in here. So anyway, yeah, we had to evacuate. And that was wild. That was like, you know, I'm a California girl. San Diego. So the whole hurricane thing was very unusual and very stressful for me and ended up not hitting, but it was terrifying.
All my San Diego friends, I think somebody explained it to me. Like there was something about the atmosphere in like California at the time where it's like, it's not gonna be an actual hurricane if it gets to land kind of thing.
Probably,
so I was
like
I don't know,
down to a tropical storm or whatever.
Like, I don't know the details, but we were fine.
Her southern friends were freaked
yay!
Out.
Yay! Fine is good. That's what we're
fine
going for.
Fine is good.
That's what we're going for.
So it was good.
Yeah, in mine it didn't hit, but the transformer went out. And so it was like the end of September, beginning of October in New Orleans. It was so incredibly hot and so incredibly sticky, and I had a new baby and we had no electricity for a week and I had to report to work and because I was teaching. I'm trying to remember if I was still in grad school or if that was the year that I graduated before my husband of the time. And so I waited around a year for him to finish his degree and I was teaching. And I think that was the year. And so I just remember I had to like get down there and like be all presentable with like no hair dryer, no lights to put makeup on in the morning. I'm up all night with a baby who's hysterical. No microwave or stove to heat his formula. It was very exciting.
So I'm all the way up in Central Georgia. I'm all the way up in Central Georgia, and Hurricane Irma took our power for a week, and we had the same thing. You still have to go to work.
Yeah.
And luckily, my mom was about 20 minutes away, and I could go to her house and shower. But my husband was like, I don't know how he didn't kill me every night, because we have four dogs, and he's like, I don't want to take the dogs to somebody else's house. That's a lot. But so I'm going to stay here. I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm fine in the heat. Like I'm born and raised in the middle of Georgia. I flourish when it's 100 degrees outside. He is like, I might kill you. I never understood how people could kill their wives until we're living without air conditioning. Yeah.
Oh, I believe it. You know, I am. It's so funny. Like my friends all laugh at me, but I was raised like in San Diego. And so like, there's a very short window or a very small window of temperatures in which I'm comfortable. And they tend to range between 70 and 80 degrees. Yeah. And if you hit me on either side of those, I'm like, what is this?
I don't like this.
I have of course learned to adapt 20 years in Texas, but yeah, it's always like a little like it's 110 and I'm like, I'm not happy, or it's like 30 and I'm like, I'm not happy. I can now go like between like 40 and 90 and be like totally okay, but now like below 40 over 90 and I'm like, I'm grumpy, I don't like this.
I hate it. Okay, I'm gonna jump back to Sweet Nightmare because I will go on tangents forever. So what was it like coming back into like the Crave paranormal teen world after being in space with Starbringer? Like,
to
come back to Earth.
Oh my gosh. Yay. Starbringer. Yeah. It was actually, I got this question a lot when I was on tour in Germany last week because Crave just came out. Not Crave Cheese, Cherish just came out in Germany. And
Okay.
so everybody was like, oh my gosh, how did it feel to write Cherish? And I'm like, it was very bittersweet. Like, it was really exciting to see the characters reach the end of the arcs. It was really sad to leave the world. I mean, I loved writing Starbringer. I think it's such a fun book. It was just ridiculously fun to write. But also when I sat down to write Sweet Nightmare, even though it's like other characters for the most part, with the exception of Remy and Izzy, who are definitely in the book and will have their own book in the third book in the series. It was really nice. I was like, oh, I'm home, you know? Like, I'm like,
Oh, I love
yes, I can
that.
do this. This is fun. Like, I know these rules. I know how this works. This is, yeah, it felt really nice to kind of be back in the Crave world. Even though it's a whole different side, even though we meet a bunch of creatures we never see in the Crave world, although we do have vampires and dragons and witches and werewolves as well, we also have, sirens and manticores and phoenixes and a Nairoi and a banshee and a bunch of other characters too. So, yeah, no, it felt really nice. I really liked it. It was a lot of fun.
I
I
was
think that's
really
why
excited to
I
see
had such a fun.
Remy.
Were you so excited
I
to see Remy?
thought
So
that, I
happy.
thought that when you said like his book is going to be the third book, that like I don't know why, I just thought we wouldn't see him at all until the third book. And so when he showed up, I like dropped the book and I was like, oh my God, Remy's here. This
Oh, yay. That makes me so happy. Remy and Izzy. And Izzy, I think, as per court, when she showed up in court, right? Izzy has all the best lines in the book, I think.
Oh,
Like,
yeah, she really
she's
does.
just so amazingly like I don't care about, or I don't give a fuck, right, about anything. But also I kind of do, but I really don't,
It's so
except for
fun
the
to
people that I
see
care
her.
about.
Yeah, it's so fun
Yeah.
to see her in this setting with like new people, with the knowledge that we have of her. Like, do you think, I mean, obviously it's not out yet, so you haven't really had reader reactions, but what do you think, like, is if there's going to be a difference between readers who have read the Crave series and know Izzy and Remy versus those who haven't and go into Sweet Nightmare blind, do you think they'll react to them differently, or the story as a whole, or anything like that?
I hope they like them. I know that the readers from from the Crave series were so, in general, very excited to see them, the ones who've had the arcs, and really excited to find out that what a big part of the story they are in the spin-off. You know what I mean? And the reason I ended up pushing, Sweet Vengeance back and making Sweet Nightmares, as I dove into it, I realized that the story started in a different place, as always, like, hello, Jackson. The story started in a different place than I expected it to when I was originally conceiving of it. Because, like, if you noticed, Sweet Nightmare takes place in September, Cherish takes place in November. So, Sweet Nightmare actually takes place before the action in Cherish, where a whole bunch of things happen with Remy and
Okay,
Izzy and Cherish. So, if all goes according to plan, we'll dovetail kind of at the end, and we'll see when we get to Remy's book, it'll be after the action of Cherish.
So that
So,
like kind of segues into my next question,
yeah.
which was, do you expect, and you can't, if you can't tell us this, it's fine. Can we expect any other crossover other than Remy and Izzy, or is that kind of under wraps?
I think that's under wraps, but I think that it is not without the beyond the realm of possibility. I have a very specific idea in mind. But again, when I sit down to write, things don't always go according to plan.
Okay.
So we will see how it ends up, but there is definitely another crossover that I'm very excited about.
I'm already excited
I
too.
can't wait to find out.
I
Oh my goodness.
know. But they will probably come in towards, if it goes according to plan, I think they'll be coming in towards the end of Sweet Chaos or into Sweet Vengeance at the very beginning of Sweet Vengeance. So we'll see.
Okay.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Oh, this is so exciting. So, I know you said that the story kind of got away from you. It started somewhere else. But was there anything specific that led you to build this spin-off series? Like anything maybe from the original Crave series itself, or just something, I don't know, new that you were like, I have an idea about this, other
Well, there was
than
a lot of things. Like, I mean, I really wanted to explore, Katmere is kind of a school for the elite, right? You have all the princes and everybody who goes there. And I wanted to explore what it was like for the opposite of the elite, right? Like the people who are really kind of considered the delinquents of the society. And I thought that would be really interesting. But also, time is such an interesting concept as you go through, particularly the second half of the Crave books, right? It really comes out in court when we learn about Grace's power. Comes out with the god of time, Jakan. It comes out with the historian, right, the god of history, and in Cherish. And I really wanted to explore that, you know? And so one of the big like action parts and plots that run through the Calder Academy series has to do with time and how it works and how it functions and how you can play with it and how you can't, you know? There are ghosts and these other things we call flickers, which I'm not going to reveal, you know, you got to read it, that are kind of going in. Clementine can see ghosts, right? That are kind of going on in Sweet Nightmare. And we know that what we know now, right, going into it or at the beginning, and how he describes himself in Sweet Nightmare is that Remy is a time wizard. So, like, it's about how do all these pieces fit together in the Crave universe in a way that we haven't seen before. And that's kind of one of the things that when I was starting Sweet Vengeance, I realized, hey, look, like it's not necessarily that it like it got away from me. It's that I realized, hey, look, for me to explain what I want to do here, I have to take it back so that we can see how it works here with Clementine, and then start to like move it forward as we build the pieces. So that was kind of the problem.
That makes
Very
sense.
cool. I want to know what it was like to, and I don't feel like this is spoiler because it's like so early on, but we have a ton of not just like paranormal humans, we have a ton of monsters on the island as well that are kind of
Oh
just
yeah,
like a
ghosts, monsters, and
menagerie.
nightmares. I forgot to mention the monsters, yeah.
How much fun was it to create these monsters?
So fun because you know they're all like out of my imagination, right? They're not like
Yeah.
monsters that existed, you know, whatever. And oh my God, there's a couple, like one I find that's so interesting. It's actually really the first main big monster, because there's little monsters too, right? Like
Yeah.
the first main big monster that appears on the scene, like there's a characteristic of them that like freaks so far like the early readers out. Like there's like it's the teeth thing. I won't say more than that. I'll just
Yes.
say it's the teeth
Yeah.
thing. It
Yeah.
like freaks them out, and I love that. And then the monster that really like got me, that actually was one of the reasons my partner rolled over in bed and asked me, "Who hurt you? Like, what is wrong with you? Like, where is my fiance, and what have you done with her?" Is the second big monster we see, the one that kind of Izzy and Clementine kind of go in against, if you've gotten to that part. That one I had like, oh, that one is, oh. And I had so much fun with that one. Yeah.
That
All of
leads
them give me like
Yeah,
the
that actually leads perfectly into. So one of my very best friends is currently reading the Crave series, and
Yay.
she would like me to let you know, and this is also an opinion of mine. You're a little bit sadistic,
Oh yeah, no,
in
I have
making
absolutely.
all the
When
trauma
Karen
kind
and
of.
this girl started reading, they were both, I was getting all of these texts, like, and I'm just
Yeah,
like,
it's
keep
like
going, keep going.
the trauma, like truly, who hurt you?
The amount of people who die in Sweet Nightmare, right? Like I think it's like just the first book is
bloodbath.
like
It's insane.
way more than the entire Crave series. Like it's
Yeah,
like
it feels like
I
it. Yeah,
went, yeah.
you
Yeah,
went
I had a lot of
hard.
fun. Yeah, killing them. I did. There's something really wrong. Yeah, I had a lot of fun killing them. It was good.
I'm living for this.
So yeah.
Oh my
There's
God.
some sadism, and yeah, and you know, yeah, the cliffhangers, I get a lot of like, how
You
could you
know
do
what? At
that?
least you own it. Like, you're like, this is my brand. I'm gonna lean into it. You guys
This
can
is what I
just deal.
want to do.
And I
I
mean,
do like to torture my characters.
you do it well enough that we want to come back still. So, I mean,
Yay! Well,
is it really a
that makes me
bad
happy.
thing?
Yeah. That makes me
Just
happy.
know if you start receiving like other people's therapy bills, it's because of your books.
We will know.
It's your fault.
I'm sorry. Yes. I am sorry about that.
All right, I'm gonna go completely off topic and take it from murder to happy things. The last time you were on the podcast, we talked a lot about Harry, and I saw a picture of Harry Styles the other day, and it said, "Us watching his hair grow must be what gardeners feel like." And I was like, "I have to tell Tracy this right now
Oh my
because
God, the trauma of the haircut, the abject trauma of the haircut. Yes, I was watching it. That is fantastic. That is
Oh
amazing.
my
You know, it was so
God.
funny. In Germany, my editor, when she was interviewing me for a couple of the different things, she said, like, Harry Styles or Lewis Capaldi, like, you know, you had to do these quick fire things. And I was like, that is so not fair. Like, that's just
That's
not
really
right.
mean.
Like, it's obviously going to be Harry. It's
It is
obviously going to be
Harry,
Harry forever.
But
But
also,
I do love Lewis Capaldi and his music. So it's like a different thing.
yeah.
But yeah, it's always going to be Harry. But Lewis
Never.
Capaldi is amazing. And has like
Yeah.
the song of, you know, that I consider like the song of the Crave series, right? In Grace.
Wait, which one is it? 'Cause I can picture, I could see how two of them might fit.
Grace, it's the song in Covet that Hudson
The
listens
actual
to.
song. Okay, I thought
The
you meant like
actual song, Grace.
fit the story. Duh.
Yeah, I found that while I was writing Covet, and that's how I actually found Lewis Capaldi. And like, it's just like the most perfect. Well, now I want to know what the two songs you came up with are.
So I just listened to it in the car, and I'm not gonna have the name for it. Hold on.
Well, you know, the one that
Because
I
my
thought was so
nieces and I
interesting
were
that
singing.
features in Sweet Nightmare is, I think it's called The Ancient Art of Always Fucking Up. That was
I
a
love that. Yeah.
have you heard it? It's so good.
No.
It's really
Sounds
good.
amazing.
It's
So I
really
get
good.
Someone You Loved vibes from like Jackson and Grace.
Oh,
Spoilers.
yeah, of course.
Spoilers.
Yeah,
And then
absolutely.
that's not what we're listening to. I can't remember. Oh, Before You Go, that's a good one too.
Oh, Before
I
You
don't
Go is
know.
really good.
I don't know. I will spend the
I guess
rest of our
I was
time
looking at
together.
it from like
Actual
Hudson and
Grace.
Grace's perspective, right?
Yeah.
So for them, I think Grace is like the perfect
Oh,
song.
100%. That, but I can't hear Little Things without like fangirling about Hudson
Oh
anymore.
yeah, well.
Oh my gosh, it was so funny because I think it was when I was reading Charm. Is it in Charm where he sings?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I was reading Charm and I was texting Mandy as one does when, you know, you're reading a book that your friend loves. And I don't even remember what I said. And Mandy's just out here like, did he sing yet? Did he sing yet?
Did he sing it? Has he sung
Did he,
yet?
has he
Has he
sung?
sung yet?
I'm
Please tell
like,
me you said.
that's what I'm
You
supposed
can't tell Charm's
to
my favorite.
Oh,
Favorite
you
of
know,
all
I
of them.
love that so much. I love that because it's my favorite too. It's my
Yeah.
favorite too.
Yeah.
Like I love them all, of course. They're, you know. Like, you don't want to pick one of your children, but I don't know. Charm
But you
is
know,
really special to me.
yeah. I know this
Just
isn't
fill in the
necessarily about
gaps.
Sweet Nightmare, but I do want to know, since we're talking about Charm, did you know when you were writing the series that you were going to have this kind of like big battle flashback, I guess, book and then another?
You know, I think that I'd always hoped that I'd be able to write that 4 months, you know? And I knew that obviously Grace and Hudson got together in that 4 months, right? And I knew, but I didn't know the specifics necessarily of it. Like the Shadow Realm was something that really came about in court, and it was a throwaway scene, not a throwaway scene in so much as we threw it out, but it was a scene that, you know, when I go to plan the book, right? Or, you know, my editor and I sit down and we brainstorm and we talk it out, you know, we have like the high points of what I want to hit. Like I know like what my central idea is. I know like what I want to go to. I know where I need the characters to end up. Sometimes like in like Crush, I knew what the last line was. It was the first thing that I knew about that book is what the last line was gonna be. You know, that epic like trauma
Oh, my
of
favorite. I love
the universe.
it.
And not the universe, but you know what, the Crave universe. So anyway, I had, you know, when I had the high points of what I wanted, you know, in court and in Covet. And so anyway, when I was sitting down and thinking about like where, because you know, I don't know if you know this, but like the Crave series was originally supposed to be three books, right? And then like
Oh.
Charm might have been the book in between one and two, but it was really supposed to be three. So I'm writing Covet and I know where I want the series to end. And I'm like 400 pages into Covet and I'm like, yeah, it's
This
not.
ain't gonna work.
That's not gonna
It's
happen.
not anywhere like this is the arc of where I need to go, and this is where I am 400 pages into Covet. And I'm like, that's not gonna work. So thankfully, I work for an amazing publisher who is very flexible. And I was like, hey, look, this isn't gonna work. And they said, well, let's do another. Liz was like, my publisher was like, let's do a fourth book. And I'm like, okay, let's do a fourth book. And that's how Court was born, knowing like, oh, hey, I had to get to this part. So anyway, as I was working on the books, I was thinking like, where do I want to put the Witch Court? And the Witch Court is in Turin, Italy. And it's in Turin, Italy because ley lines for black magic and white magic run through three major cities in the world. Like black magic ley lines run through San Francisco, Turin, Italy, and London, England, right? And white magic, one of the ley lines runs through Turin, Italy as well. So it's the only town where both black and white magic ley lines run through. And I'm like, well, that's got to be where the witch court is. So then I was researching because I've never been, I had never been to Turin, Italy. And I'm like, let me do all the research I can on this book. Because many, many years ago, I'm digressing, but many, many years ago, I was at a conference and I heard Nora Roberts speak. And Nora Roberts said, you know, she read when she was writing, because she sets all her books at a different place, except for the J.D. Robb series. And she's like, I learn everything I can about that spot, not because it's all going to go in the book, but because until I know everything, I don't know what does go into the book. You know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
So it's kind of like that. I just brainstormed a lot, or not brainstormed. I researched a lot about Turin, Italy. And in the research, I found this piazza. And in this piazza, and I'm jet lagged, so I do not remember the name off the top of my head. But in this piazza, there is a specific statue that actually makes it into court. And it is, some people say it's knowledge and man gaining knowledge. Other people really think it's Lucifer with a lot of tortured souls underneath kind of crawling up and being knocked back. And it's in the center of this piazza. And this piazza, people are actually afraid to walk at night in it at night, in for real, in Turin, Italy, because they say that it is a it is like the center like of hell, and like they will, the demons and stuff can come up through the sewers and pull you into them. And so I just thought that was like such a fascinating thing, right? And so when I was trying to make like this scene outside the witch court, which is now actually in the trials, because my editor was like, actually thematically it works better here, I had that statue and I had these shadowy bugs and snakes and everything coming up attacking and what happens with Makai and all of that. And so that is when the Shadow Realm was born, actually the idea of it. And from there, we got the extra action. Like we got like the overarching plot of what happens in Charm. But it was because of that, the research in Turin and that piazza
that I had found crazy.
That had it.
We have a spot like that in Savannah. It's not it's not black and white magic, but there's a square in Savannah that like Gullah Geechee people believe is a portal to the dark dimension. And that's where they think like haints can enter the world. And, you know, there's like there's talk about the sleep paralysis demon. They can enter the world. Hags can enter the world through that square. It's where the slave market was. There's like houses all around the square that have like horrific things that have happened there. There's a church that's really spooky. And like, yeah, you get that bad vibes at night. My husband, again, I said earlier, my husband's a ghost hunter. We were just walking because we went on our honeymoon in Savannah. We've gone to Savannah a lot. He had a recorder just because everywhere in Savannah is haunted. And when he played it back, when we were walking through that square, you could hear somebody like screaming and like yelling. And it sounded all like genuinely, it sounded like an auctioneer yelling and then people crying. But there, like, none of that happened while we were there. We would have put in the recorder. Hey,
so interesting. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Well, I wonder, you know, I can't remember now. Is Beautiful Creatures set near, no, it's in Georgia or is it in South Carolina? Oh. But like, there's that whole witch and all that, like, darkness and all of that. And,
let's see.
It's interesting. I wonder if they had heard about that and like we're doing some kind of, you know, play on that, you know?
Maybe like, it's set in South Carolina, but they may have. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's so interesting. That's a great book.
Yeah, I don't know.
All right. You've been here before, Tracy. So we're gonna take it out of the spooky. And we're gonna ask you a question that is kind of required when you come to the podcast.
Yeah.
Okay.
And hopefully this time your brain does not blank out like it usually my brain blanks out too, so don't worry about it.
Yeah.
But as you know, we have a segment called Fictional Boyfriend of the Week, where we pick our favorite fictional character or 10 from the week that we're just loving. So
mine's been Hudson.
Last week, I actually picked a fictional family. It was the found family from Crave. So obviously,
I think mine was Jude last week, actually.
It doesn't have to be just,
Thank you. I'm so excited.
Or so, not last week, week before. I wasn't here last
any,
week.
Any characters that just come to mind that you're like, yes. Them, mine.
Actually, yes. Stepping outside, there's one for like of the week, and then there's one like of all time. I don't know what you want, but of the week,
both.
We were talking a little bit about how I was reading Rena Kent. It's the God series or the Vicious God series. It's a bunch of new adult books set in a like fictional college campus, and I just read a book with Nikolai, and I cannot remember Nikolai's last name. But he was a hell of a romance hero. Really dark romance hero, but he was a hell of a romance hero. So yeah, Nikolai. Yeah,
and who's our
he's
all
amazing.
time?
My all time is actually a guy named Jude, not my Jude. I mean, it's so funny because I hadn't thought about Jude like in a while. Like I'm a huge Nalini Singh fan. When anybody asks me to recommend a book, I will always, always recommend a book, but by several books, depending on what they want, by Nalini Singh. And in her Psy Changeling, which is like my ride or die series, it's my comfort read. It's my like if I'm exhausted, if I'm sad, if I'm whatever, if I need to go to bed with a cup of tea and pull the covers over my head, it's always Nalini Singh's Psy Changeling series that I read. Or like maybe 99% of the time. And in the very third book in the series, which is now a very, very long series, I will not even hazard a guess at how many books there are, but there are a lot because I started reading it before my first book came out. And my first book came out in 2007, and she's been publishing consistently in the series since then.
Wow.
And she's actually one of the reasons I write contemporary romance or paranormal romance. It's Nalini Singh, Christine Feehan, Sherilyn Kenyon from back in the day. But really, Christine Feehan and Nalini Singh are my two like ride or dies from the time, the very, very early time before J.R. Ward, before anything. And his name is Jude, and he's in a book, the third book called Caressed by Ice. And his heroine's name is Brianna. And I love them. I love them together. I love everything about him. Like, I think he's such a great hero. There's a scene where they make love for the first time, or like they keep getting close. He's shy, so he's silenced from his emotions. And there's this scene where he's trying to keep everything controlled, so he's afraid of losing control and hurting her, like if his mind, you know. And so like I can't remember if it's full sex or they're making out. It's been a little while since I've read it. I've read it like probably 100 times, but they kind of all, you know, they blur together. And she like looks over his shoulder, and everything in her apartment is like floating because he's telekinetic, and it has like been smashed to hell, but he's like destroyed everything to make sure that he keeps her safe. And it's just like this moment of
Oh my
oh,
God.
oh. Yeah.
Oh.
So
Oh.
anyway,
What a
I'm a big fan of
namesake.
that.
We love a
Yeah,
protective
I
voice.
loved all the nicknames for Jude throughout the book because I was raised by a Beetlehead. So it was like, oh,
Nice.
that one.
Yeah, that was fun. That was a cute like trait for them to have. To he gets all the
Kumquat.
Beatles names, she gets all the citrus fruits, like
Oh
adorable.
my gosh, I had so much fun with that, right? Like I loved that her, like I don't know why, like you know characters come to me, like Grace came to me and her name was Grace, like right away. Like I did, you know, sometimes it takes forever to find a character's name, but like when Grace started talking to me, she's kind of like, hey, I'm Grace. And I'm like, okay, you're Grace, who are you? And right away, I knew that Clementine needed to be Clementine and Jude needed to be Jude. Like, I don't know how I knew that. I just, like, they just, when they came to me, sometimes, like I said, characters just show up in my head and they
Oh,
were
I
Clementine and
love
Jude.
that.
But I loved the idea that he played with that. And then I loved the idea that she would play back, right? Like, I
Yes,
got the
that's
name
cute.
from Hey Jude, right? Which is one of my favorite Beatles songs of all times. And yeah, so anyway.
I
I
love
love it.
that. It's so
It was a
cute.
lot of fun.
So you already kind of answered this, but I'm still gonna ask it because you could add to it if you wanted. We also always love to ask our guests, what are you reading? What are you recommending? What are those you have to read this before you die books that you would tell people about?
Okay, you got to read a Nalini Singh book before you die.
Yeah.
She's like freaking amazing, and I love her so much. Like, she's so cool. Like, she has the Psy Changeling. She has the Archangels. She has the her new romantic suspenses, which are really amazing, set on the like, in the wilds of New Zealand. Like, super cool.
Ooh.
Yeah, the first one, Madness of Sunshine, so good. And the new one, whose name I am blanking on, it's her third one, and I think it's really great too. She also has a Rockstar series. Like, she's got a little bit of everything for everybody.
I love that.
So I would definitely say anything by Nalini Singh. Another book that I am reading and loving, I'm a huge Ellie Hazelwood fan. Like I really, really
Yep.
liked Check and Mate. I thought
It's
that
so
was
cute.
cute,
Yeah.
right? Like I had a little tiny trouble at the beginning. I think I had read a little bit and then put it down because I wasn't in the mood for it. You know,
Right, yeah.
just, you know, sometimes it's like, you know, you
Yeah.
read what you're in the mood for. And then I picked it back up and I was like, oh, hell yeah. And I read it in like one sitting. Like, I loved it. I thought he was such a great hero. I really thought he was a great hero.
Yeah. And I never thought I'd care that much about chess.
Yeah,
But
right.
there
And
I
like he's
was.
like that amazing, and he's like this chess player. Yeah, the whole thing I think is so cool. And what else would I recommend off the top of my head? Like another like YA contemporary who has who I think is really, really interesting. And she's only written two books, and it's been a while since she published, but I think she's so brilliant. Her name is Jandy Nelson, and she has a book called I think Apple actually made it into a movie. I have not seen the movie. It's called The Sky Is Everywhere. And
Okay,
I
I haven't
think,
heard
and then
of
her second
this.
one was also really interesting. I cannot remember the title off the top of my head, but they are really good and just really beautifully written and lyrical and great character, great world, and very I think profound in some ways about grief and this relationship and all that. So those are some.
Awesome.
I got some stuff to add to my TBR.
The never-ending TBR.
I know, always, 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 always.
All right.
Before we let you go, we do have to ask, what's coming next? What are you working on? Is there anything you can tell us about what you're working on?
Yeah,
I
that sweet
am working
chaos.
Sweet
I am working
Chaos, sequel
on
to Starbringer, whatever they're doing.
Starbringer 2 right now, whose name has not been revealed yet, but I'm working on Starbringer 2. I am working on a surprise project. Like, I will just say that it is contemporary. That's all I'll say about it. And I'm working on a surprise project and I'm very excited about it. And then I am also about to go into working on the Flint and Jackson novella for the Grave series.
I'm
And then
so
Sweet
excited.
Chaos. So it'll be a busy year, but I'm excited.
So exciting.
A
I
lot of
love
fun things for me
it
coming.
in
A
the
lot of fun things for me. So
So
fun things
exciting.
for us too. We're
Yeah.
excited about
Yay.
them.
Well,
So
I hope so.
excited.
I hope you like them. I'm very excited about the Jackson and Flint novella, and I'm
Oh,
very
yeah.
excited
Oh, my God.
about, well, I'm excited. Actually, I can't say like, I'm actually really excited about all four projects. I'm really excited about them. So we'll see what happens. But I
Yay.
hope you guys
So
are excited too when you get them.
well, oh, we will be. And Karen's got
as
some
we
bad news to
always,
tell you though.
I mean, we, as you know, now that you have been on the podcast, you do have to come back for every book release from here until
Well, I'm
forever.
that is fine. I
You
am
are
happy to do
just
that.
legally obligated. We're
Well,
so not sorry at all.
I would love that very much. That would be fantastic.
Thank you so much, Tracy, for
Yeah,
joining us
thank
again.
you.
It was
We want
so
to let
much
you go
fun.
get some rest. We know you're
Yes.
jet
Thank you
lagged and
very
you've got a
much.
busy weekend coming.
Yes. I will see you on Saturday. I will be at
You're
your
coming to Y'all
interview.
Fest? Yay!
Yes. I'm driving down tomorrow. I'm up in Northern California. So
Nice.
I'm driving down tomorrow morning and I'll see you on Saturday. I'm so excited.
Awesome. I think if you're driving, depending on where you're driving from, I think I may be shorter for me to fly there than it is for you to drive, right? But we'll kind of like meet over there. That'll be
We'll
great.
figure
I'm
it
coming
out.
in tomorrow morning.
But I'll see you then. I'm so excited. Congratulations on Sweet Nightmare. We
Yeah,
can't wait.
everybody
Thank
go
you.
get
I'm so excited.
go
Okay, can I show you
pre-order it. Well,
guys?
it's
I'm
out
so
now.
excited. Yeah, by the
The
time
book, it's
oh,
here.
you
It's
have a
out
finished
here.
copy.
Yes, I
Ooh.
haven't done my unboxing. I need to do that, but they came while I was, right before I left for Germany. And look, isn't
It's
it
so
pretty?
that looks so pretty.
Gorgeous.
All
I
right,
love it
friends,
so
by the
much.
time this
It's
episode
got the
comes out,
edges.
Sweet Nightmare will be out in the world, which means you can walk into a
You
bookstore
don't even
and
have to
grab a
pre-order.
copy.
You can just get one.
The first print run has some special features, so you're gonna want to run and pick it up real quick before they're gone, because once they're gone, they're gone. Thank you, Tracy. We love
Thank you.
having
It is
you.
always wonderful having you
Oh,
here with
such a
us.
blast. We will
Well, I
talk
love
to
you
you.
guys. Honestly, this is such a great podcast to be
We
on. I
love
really, really
you.
like it.
Oh,
So
thank
thank
you
you for
so
having me. I
much.
really appreciate it.
I'll just be jealous Saturday that you guys are hanging out and I'll be on the other side of the country, but it's fine.
Oh, well,
Photoshop you
hopefully I'll
in.
make it to Georgia again soon and
Yes.
we can hang out. That would be fabulous.
Yes.
Perfect.
Perfect.
All right, we'll
All
get some
right.
rest.
We'll
We'll talk
talk
to you
to
soon.
you soon. Okay. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Thanks for
Bye.
having me. You're awesome. Take care.
You too. Oh,
I
I love
love
her
her
so
so
much.
much.
I love
She's.
that I always need to gush about Harry Styles with her
I
because
just.
if
I
I
love her so much. She's
any
so
opportunity
sweet.
to talk
Yeah.
about Harry Styles with me is a great opportunity.
That is kind of your jam, for sure.
That's my shit. That's my shit.
Oh my God.
Oh, I love Tracy
Are we
Wolde.
dating ourselves?
Probably.
That's okay.
Probably.
They already know.
Yeah.
I love
We're
her. She's the
millennials.
best.
I'm an elder. I almost said we're elder emos. You're not an elder emo. We're
No.
millennials. I'm an elder emo.
I was like a baby emo, like a little bit. Not quite to the level that you are an emo, but like, a little bit for a little while. But then I got all frilly and girly and gross. Ugh.
Oh, I never did that, really. Maybe right after I got married, I thought I was supposed to be June Cleaver, but then I was like, girl, you're an emo kid. Put your Vans on.
Girl, no.
Go get some Chucks. You need a band t-shirt right now.
Oh my God. So much
Tracy
fun.
Wolf, folks.
Love her. That sound means we have another intruder
This is
alert.
such an exciting
We're so
intruder.
excited. We have Mai Corlin, who is the author of Five Broken Blades, which is coming out on May 7th. By the time this episode airs, it will be out. So you can walk into a store and grab it right now. We are so excited to have you. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
So the first thing we always ask is if you could give like a quick elevator pitch of the book for anybody who somehow has not heard of it.
Sure. It is five dangerous liars, killers who are brought together on a mission to kill the God King of Yusan. And they don't quite know who is recruiting them, but they all have reasons to either want him dead or want to take his crown.
Look, I am about halfway through it and I am obsessed. I was so mad. I had to take my husband to the airport today. And I was so mad at him that I had to drive back and had to like put my book down. It was like, really, this is the time? How dare you?
Can you tell us what inspired you to write this story?
So I had wanted to write an adult book. I was writing children's fiction before this. I wanted to write fantasy. I had seen a tweet, interestingly, from my agent talking about poison maidens and how in ancient India there had been these actual girls who were subjected to a variety of poisons and then would go to pretty much assassinate these men by eating and drinking from like the same glass, and the glass would be poisoned. And I thought, that's such an interesting kind of character. So Sora, who is a poison maiden in the book, was where we started. We started with, what it would take to become a person like that who is capable, how much loss you would go through, and then also who would you be trying to unalive essentially, and why would it be so difficult? So we kind of built the world out around Sora, who was one of the points of view character. And then we went into this sort of East meets West. I don't see a lot, at least growing up, I didn't see a lot of people who looked like me in fantasy or, in books in general growing up. So I definitely wanted to, broaden this, but in a fusion type of way, because that's who I am.
Yeah, I love
I really like that. And I'm like, this is going to sound weird, but I'm like obsessed with the idea of poison maidens too. Like that just seems like it sounds weird to say, but it's so badass to
that.
like
I've never heard of
put
this
on that
until,
poisoned lip
yeah,
gloss
that is
or that
so
poison
cool.
lipstick and kill that man who's
Kill with a
trying to wrong
kiss.
you. Yeah.
Yeah, oof, I love it.
Oh, it was so cool. Okay, so in the beginning of the book, you have an author's note that says that you did take creative liberties, but that this story may be loosely based on Korean mythology and legends. Are there any particular legends or pieces of Korean lore that like resonate with you? Maybe even not even necessarily tied to the book, but like, are there specific tales that you're like, this is so cool to me, and I love this story?
So the funny thing is, so I'm adopted. I was born and spent the first almost year of my life in Seoul. And then I was adopted as a baby and came to live in the United States in New York. So I started researching Korea and Korean mythology for a book that I wanted to do for that was actually middle grade. So I was learning about, all these very interesting myths and how many of the myths, because ancient Korea had three different kingdoms. So many myths have very different spins. Like, there's not one way of telling these tales because there were three different kingdoms, and there was also the influence from both China and Japan. There are real historical events that found their way into the book. There's in the first half, there's something mentioned called Lingqi, the death by 100 or 1,000 cut. That
Oh,
was real.
so menacing. So messy.
That was an actual real thing. The Festival of Blood that's mentioned in the second half of the book was a real thing that happened in, I want to say, 1500 or 1600s Korea. I wanted to bring in, there is, depending on the translation, something called the Dragon Lord. And so that is throughout the book, but it's not quite the way that I'm telling it. But then the founding myth of Korea is like these different pieces of a woman who was torn apart, actually founded, made Korea. And so like that is reflected in these relics and these pieces that come together.
That's fascinating. That is,
I love this.
Yeah.
I love hearing about like mythology.
And yes,
that I and don't
ancient
know
legends. Yeah, new stories. Like I never would have thought of Lin Chi, but
It hurts just thinking about it.
I don't know that this is a spoiler because I won't say who or what, but somebody cuts some pieces off of somebody and feeds it to them. And I was just like, this is so monstrous. I don't need this. And I'm normally the most squeamish person on earth. I cannot believe that I was like, this is so badass.
We found her threshold.
Yeah. And it's like, it's that level of vengeance.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, I love that. So one of the characters in the story, Sora, experiences hearing loss because of, you know, the poisoning that she has to go through to become a poison maiden. And I know that's something that you also experienced as well. Was that something that you thought of when you started writing that you really wanted to include as part of the story?
I did. There is a paucity of disability rep. There's extremely little. And then whatever there is almost never in fantasy. Six of Crows is one of the few ones that I can think of that has an actual disabled character. And it's not in a, oh, poor person, poor them, look at them. This is just, it's just part of their identity. And that's what I wanted to do because I lost the hearing on my left side in a very freak virus. So not, you know, not being poisoned as a girl, right. But I did lose it. And so I wanted to make it a character that had that same hearing loss. And so has the same, like right now it's ringing like mad, but other times I don't notice it at all, especially if it's quiet, I don't notice it at all. But it actually plays into the story a little bit with, she talks to her sister and her sister says something in her ear that has hearing damage. And she's trying to figure out through the book what her sister said.
It's like George Bailey.
Incorporated into like the plot of the story too. Like it's not so much like she has this and like you said, like poor me kind of thing, but it actually is a plot point in the book. And I love that.
Yes.
Yeah, that's really cool. So this book has 5 POVs, at least as
6.
Far as I've gotten. Oh, I don't know that I've gotten to a 6.
Mm-hmm.
Have I? Okay. Is it difficult to write in these different POVs while maintaining their clearly distinct different voices? Or is that something that just kind of flows naturally to you?
So originally, when I had pitched this book idea, I had pitched it with 3. And a friend of mine was like, don't make your life miserable. Do as few points of view as you possibly can. Do, you know, 1 or 2. And I'm like, how about 3? And she's like, I feel like you're not listening. So then when I had 6, yeah, it was a lot. But, but now they're so alive to me. Like as I'm writing, I already handed in the sequel. But as I was writing it, it sounds like them in my head. So it's not very hard to differentiate them when I'm writing. The voice, like voice in literature, you know, you have to, like, as you edit, you have to go through and make sure that you catch where the voice slips. It's weird how, even though it's written on the page, you can kind of hear it and be like, that doesn't sound like them,
right.
It, which is interesting.
Yeah.
But yes, it's like 6 people just like standing by my laptop. So we're good.
And they start talking at the same time and you're like, just yes. One of you, please.
Just, I only need one right now. Just one. Is there one of them? I know this is like picking your like favorite child, but is there a particular voice that you like writing the most?
I loved writing Auri because she is bubbly and she adds like other, like, you know, the story is heavy. There is no way around this, right? Like there's a page of trigger and content warnings because of what's in there, because of some of the things we've already mentioned. It is a violent, darker world. It's a world that allows indentures, that in another part of this world still allows slavery. It is a place of pretty grave power imbalances, but the way that I wanted to tell the story still wanted some levity and still wanted some humor. Otherwise, I think it gets too dark. I think it gets too heavy to read. And it's one of those that you kind of have to put down for a while and kind of come back to it because there's only so much like darkness that you can take. And so she, because she has this more bubbly voice and personality, was super fun to write.
She's my favorite. I can pick because they're not my children.
She does crack me up. And I don't know, Karen, I don't think you've gotten quite to it yet, but there's a scene on a boat that is so funny because she's like,
I can't.
But I have all of this stuff I have to do. and it's like, you don't though.
Stop. Can't wait. I love her. I love her.
Okay, so you don't just have this epic fantasy trilogy. You also have some books as Meredith Ireland. So you have The Jasmine Project and Everyone Hates Kelsey Miller. Can you tell us about those?
Sure. They are super light rom-coms. They are the opposite of Five Broken Blades. They really are. The Jasmine Project is really, really sweet. It's about a girl who her boyfriend cheats on her and her family tries to like set her up and a kind of bachelor situation so she can find somebody who's worthy of her, but she doesn't know. That's the Jasmine Project.
Oh my gosh.
That sounds amazing.
And then Everyone Hates Kelsey Miller is a rivals to lovers road trip. They want to go win back their exes. She's been ghosted by her best friend. He's been ghosted by his summer girlfriend. And they're going to go to the University of Pennsylvania and go win them back. And, you know, shenanigans ensues.
I love.
So is your writing process different between the YA books and then this epic fantasy? Or is it still kind of about the same?
It's kind of the same. You can go a lot more in depth. You can go darker, obviously, with the epic fantasy. But it's also writing, you know, you write with the audience in mind. You write especially with the category in mind. So you expect that people who are picking up Five Broken Blades have seen some shit. You know, they've been through dark moments. They've been through trauma. They have either figured out who they are or they're on their journey to figuring out who they are, but they can relate to grief and loss and revenge. And it's not going to be their first rodeo. It's not going to be their first time seeing a book with or seeing genocide. In YA, you want to treat things differently. Like, you can handle subject matter that's as dark as you can an adult, but you have to handle it differently. So writing with audience in mind is a different exercise. And then middle grade, I also wrote, which is a completely different audience. So,
well, I mean, at least you have kind of a roadmap. You've got middle grade, you know, you've got your littles can read it. And then when they get a little older, they can just transition right into that YA and then the fantasy as they grow. You've got Grow With Me books. That's what it is.
I love that.
Yeah.
So you mentioned the sequel, so obviously it's a trilogy, so we know there's more books coming, but do you have like the full series planned out, or is it just like certain plot points that you want to hit, or like is everything mapped out? Like, do you know what happens at the end?
So I am, for better or worse, a pantser. I would love to sit with the 40-page outline and just write from that. And I could never. So, because it would be just so much more efficient, right? But
I just don't understand how they do it.
I don't get it.
I don't understand it either. Yeah. Like, that would feel like homework to me. But they love it. Yeah. So I don't know.
Whatever works. Couldn't be me.
No, couldn't. The magic of this all is telling myself the story in the first draft. I adore that. I love how things come together. That what I say is that I have like two brain cells and one squirrel working on this trilogy at all times, kind of in the background.
I love that.
Because things will sync up and I'm like, who came up with that? And it's usually like the one brain cell or the squirrel. But I love when it works like that. Something, you know, something meta, you know, to be a little more, I don't know, intelligent, I guess, about this, like something meta is going on in your brain that keeps working on the story in the background. And I love how that comes to be. We had a series overview because people want to know as they're buying it, what are the other books about?
Sure. Yeah.
Right.
You know, so we had a vague idea of Book two was a little more concrete, and then we have more of a vague idea because the last book, you have to wrap everything up. So you kind of do know what that one is in at least like it has to end. Like
you have a ballpark of where.
Right.
Yeah, you have a ballpark of where you need to land. And my editor and I need to have a discussion on who's going to still be alive at the end.
Oh, God. Oh, I'm going to be ready for that trauma.
Yeah. We've been through fantasy trilogies a time or two.
Yeah, we know.
Coming. You know, if everybody's alive at the end of book one, you're like, yay, uh-oh.
Yeah.
Because there's two more coming and you know it. So
That's always the rub, right? When you're starting a new trilogy or new series in general, you're like, are they all going to make it? Or
yeah.
I don't know.
And with six POVs, I don't think so. I think we're going to be sad. That's okay, though.
We like to be in our feels.
We like to be hurt. I will go ahead and prepare you and manifest here. We tend to talk to authors and then a week or two later, they're New York Times bestsellers. So we're going to manifest that New York Times, Sunday Times, all of the above. USA Today. I can feel it for this book. Yeah. As I've been reading it, I've just been like, oh.
As I'm reading it, and we're seeing all the hype on social media too. Mm-hmm. Like I think you're gonna get it.
And I joke that we have people on and then they go on and we're manifesting as if it's anything to do with us. It's your talent, their talent and time and effort. But it's cool brag to have. So
like to be
2 weeks hard. From now, right now, we're going to be recording and we're going to be like, guess what, everybody? Dark Times.
Yes. I can see it. I can see it so clearly. I'm so excited.
Yeah.
We had such a good day yesterday because Book of the Month announced that we were their fantasy pick. And we also saw that we're an Amazon editor, best sci-fi fantasy pick for the month. So
you can't be surprised though. Have you read this book? I'm not shocked at all by that.
Like, and honestly, there are so many like gorgeous editions of this book. And
they're beautiful.
The bookish collectors are out there. Like they're gonna go for
I saw a bookseller unboxing one earlier today on TikTok and I was just like, oh, I need to order that one.
Yeah. need that. We're all ready for this. So
yeah.
Don't be surprised when you hit some lists is what we're saying.
Let's hope.
I was, this is just silly, but I was looking at your website earlier and I saw an unheard of feat. I see that you have a long living county fair goldfish. And as someone who's mourned quite a few of those in her day, how?
Okay. How? So Bob, I'm pretty sure is a person. Like, okay. So here's the thing about traveling county fairs. if you wind up winning an animal, you either like it winds up dying on the way home or it sends your kids to college. And like, I think he's the latter. Like, so it was him. So there was Bob and there was Carl, and Carl died.
Those are the best names I've ever heard.
Yeah. Which I think Bob may have murdered him. I'm not really sure. He has also outlived Kevin and Kevin 2, who were betas, who kicked the bucket. Like, so like, we have a long standing joke in this house that like Bob is just offing other animals to like be the one.
He wants all the attention.
Oh my God. I think I love Bob.
Yeah.
Bob is amazing. He's super noisy for a goldfish. Like if he wants to get fed, he throws rocks in his,
Oh, I'm obsessed with Bob.
Bob is my new favorite animal.
Yeah. Wait, hold on now. Did you see this little ear perk up when you said that?
I know. Sorry, George Bailey. You guys can be tied for
No,
first.
I'm with you though. Like, wow.
That is so cool.
Hold on.
All of those names are epic.
Wait a second, because I'm going to go downstairs and I'm going to show you this fish. Hold on.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Oh, because he's making so much noise right now. Hold on.
I've never heard a goldfish make noise.
Me either.
Hold on. How do I? Oh, there we go.
Bob.
So that's Bob.
Oh my God. Hi, Bob.
Oh,
yeah.
He is. So
how old is Bob that you know of?
Bob is like, he's at least, I want to say he's 5 years old.
Wow.
I don't, Bob, you're a survivor.
Yeah.
He's living his best life. I love that.
Yeah. And when he gets bored, he pulls up those plants that are in there. Like, it's, yeah, it's a thing. I'll
You're
feed you.
sassy, Bob.
Oh my gosh.
He is. He's going to start
Bob.
like throwing rocks because I'm down here and not feeding him. So, yeah.
Wow,
See, I don't know
Bob.
how you did that because I always got the ones that die instantly every time as a
Thank
kid. And so I had to go home and flush them down the my parents would flush them down the toilet and it's like,
That's very
I
sad.
just want a fish.
Oh my
So
gosh,
I
so cool.
did figure out they have to live in like I get like the Target or the Walmart like gallon water because the water that I have here will kill them.
Oh, that's
Yeah, there's too
fascinating.
many
I
impurities. Like there's
never would have thought of that.
Wow.
Then
There's
again,
too
I
much
was a
chlorine
kid.
or whatever.
That's crazy. Well, all
That's so
right.
smart. I'm so
Learned
glad we got
something
to
new
meet
today.
Bob. That is so
I know.
cool.
Thank you for that. That was so exciting.
Yeah. So we have a couple of questions that we always ask our guests.
This is the
This
moment
is
where
where
everything
everything you've
leaves your
ever read
brain.
kind of goes out of your brain.
Okay, got it.
Happens to everybody. But we have a segment called Fictional Boyfriend of the Week where we pick, it doesn't have to be a boyfriend, that's just what we call it. Karen's had a fictional granny. We've had fictional found family, fictional bestie. I'm sure Royo will be my fictional boyfriend next week. But do you have any? It doesn't have to be one you've written, it can be. Do you have a fictional character where every time you read them, you're like, that's mine?
Oh, let me think.
And it doesn't have to be books. It could be like film and TV if that's
TV.
easier too.
You mentioned Six of
Anything.
Crows earlier. My niece's is Kaz Brekker. That's like her character. Mine is Erin Warner from Shatter Me. Karen's is anybody Chloe Gong has ever written.
I'm easy. Just give me
I had to
all.
remind her of her. She was like, I don't
Sometimes
really know. And I was like,
Mandy tells
here's a
me
list.
I don't need to keep track.
I mean, so I loved. Okay, so when Shadow and Bone was adapted, and Ben Barnes came in as the Darkling, I'm like, well, this is just unfair. Like, we're supposed to root for like somebody who's not Ben Barnes. Like, you're like,
No.
how much horror can I excuse? Because I feel like it's quite a bit when it's Ben Barnes.
Right. Yeah.
So
We have a
that's fair.
t-shirt that says Ben, Bucky, and Noble, the Barnes trifecta. And then we had, I was talking about a Spider-Man movie recently, and I kept saying Ben Parker. But when Karen was editing, she was like, you keep pausing, and I know, and I can see it in your face. It's because you're trying to say Barnes.
Every time she says Ben, she like literally it's like a millisecond, but like you can tell she pauses. She's like, it's Ben
He's my Roman Empire, okay?
Barnes.
That man is too perfect to exist.
That is a good choice. A
Yeah.
good choice.
Yeah, that's a good fictional boyfriend of the week for sure. And you're right. How are we supposed? They call him the Darkling, and he's Ben Barnes. I'm supposed to look at Mal.
Yeah, I'm supposed to have
No
morals. Like,
offense
if
to
this is
Mal.
not, like,
Yeah,
it's not gonna
no.
happen.
No, nuh-uh.
Oh,
Could
man.
not be me. I'm going where he's going.
Yeah,
He's
when I
just
read
trying to
the
help the great
book,
show, okay?
I'm like, oh, he's not 17 in the book, but it's a teen book, and I'm like, okay, no problem. But then they adapted it, and I'm like, well, come on.
I don't know that I pictured Ben Barnes when I was reading it, but
I
I
didn't.
do have like a Facebook group or something where I had started reading it and people were had also read it or something, and I was like, they just named this character the Darkling and they expect me not to fall in love with him. Like, that's done. That's happened. Sorry.
I love that so much. Okay. So the other question that we always ask kind of ties in to that question is, we know that we are obsessed with your book, but what are you reading? What are you obsessing over? What do you recommend? Anything like
Do
that?
you have a favorite book of all time? What do you think
Yeah.
people should read?
Okay. So I absolutely love the Black Sun trilogy by Rebecca Roanhorse. That is not the name of the
Oh.
trilogy. It's Between Earth and Sky. That is the name of the trilogy. I legitimately have the book in my hands, Mirrored Heavens, which is the last book in that trilogy. And it is unlike anything I've read because it's based on Native American. I cannot remember for the life of me which tribe, but it's based on Native American legends.
Oh my
So it
gosh.
has world building that's not like anything that I've seen. That's quite new to me, anyhow. And it has like a siren type of character. It has this crow god. It has this like sun god. It is so the crow god has that, that darklingness to him about kind of.
I mean, you called him the crow god. I'm sold.
But there's like, and these like various clans, and it's just so good. Like it is, it's excellent. She is always my go-to recommend is, have you read The Black Sun? Because it's incredible. I love Jade City, that trilogy by Fonda Lee. I love that it is set in a more modern, like there's electricity, there's guns. That's not normally what we are seeing in high fantasy, in a completely high fantasy world. And it has like this like sprawling, almost like mafia style, but with Jade giving special abilities and powers to people who can handle it, essentially.
I'm they call them green bones. I'm just going to have you create a PBR for me.
Yeah,
like, both of those sound right up my alley.
Yeah,
they are so good. And I actually, I'm just finishing up The Serpent and the Wings of Night.
Yes, I have to. I haven't read the sequel, but I read that.
Yes, super fun. Good. Like that's just such a fun book, and it brought me out of what had been a reading slump. So I will definitely appreciate it for that.
I love that.
Yes, because it's
the perfect read.
It's fun. It's so much action. It has the romance. It was just a lot of fun.
Those are such good recommendations. I love it.
Yeah, I'm just gonna DM you anytime I need a book recommendation. Like I need you to tell me what to read because
you know what? Absolutely, because I totally will be like, yes, you need to read this right now.
I'm into this. I love
it. Oh, I love it.
Okay, so before we let you go, you did say that you handed in, was it edits for book two?
First draft.
Okay, so what else are you working on? Anything else other than book two, or do you have any secrets that you are allowed to tell about book two or anything like that? I know book one hasn't even been released, and I want more.
Right. No, I definitely can't tell you any secrets about two or three, except that they exist.
They exist. They exist.
They're gonna happen.
They're going to happen. We expect that the trilogy, that the very last book will be out before the end, before 2025 ends. So you will not be waiting a long time for this trilogy.
I was worried. I thought you were going to say 2027 or something.
I know.
No. So it'll be less than a year between the books. So they will finish up. We will not George R. R. Martin you. You will have the end of this trilogy.
I'm just saying, Red Tower knows what the people want. We don't want to wait 3 years between books.
No, and like
love it.
There's a feeling like, oh, I would, but then you're like, but also no. Like where's really the next one?
Look, I have really bad anxiety, and I always, from like when I was a teenager reading Harry Potter, always had that fear of what if I die before this series ends and I never know what happened, you know, to my favorite character. What happens if I don't get to live out eternity knowing? So,
all right. So, if either of us is ever like on our deathbed before the end of 2025, we're just gonna slide and
come whisper it in our ear.
We'll be really
this is who winds up dying.
That's all. I just need to know.
And then that's when we go, like,
okay,
we can rest.
Oh my goodness. Okay, so this is the part where I have to inform you that now that you have been on the podcast, you are actually legally obligated to come back for all future book releases. It was, you know, in the teeny tiny fine print.
We made it white so that you couldn't see it unless you highlighted.
So
it'll be my pleasure.
The sequel comes out, we'll have you back. We're so excited.
And a check-in with Bob.
And a check-in with Bob, who'll still be kicking it downstairs, I swear.
He's gonna outlive us all. All right, friends, Five Broken Blades.
Everybody,
when this episode is out, this book will be out. If you somehow haven't seen this listing,
I don't
yet,
know where you've edges, been.
Where have you been? The edges are stunning. The cover is beautiful. The story is so much fun, and yes, dark,
it's addictive.
But so much fun. It's, I don't want to put, I like, no. I have to stop so I can do this. I mean, this is fun, but I also want to keep reading.
Yeah.
So walk into a bookstore, pick up a copy. It is out when you are listening to this episode, so you can do that and help us get by on the bestseller list, because we can see it happening, and it should happen.
Yep. It's going to happen.
Thank you for coming and hanging out with us and talking
Thank
about the
book. Thank you so much. We've had so much fun with
you. We've had so much fun. And we can't wait for everything else that comes next.
Thank you so much. This was wonderful.
All right.
No, we've had a blast. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. I freaking love her, and I love Bob, and I love Carl, and I love Kevin, and Kevin too. May they rest in peace.
Oh my god, that was so much fun. I feel like I need to make like a We Heart Bob t-shirt or something.
Yes.
Like we need to make some Bob merch. I don't know. Love him.
I want to like that was I just want to announce Bob didn't kill anybody. He didn't kill Carl. He didn't kill Kevin. He didn't kill I'm his lawyer. He's innocent. Listen, he's just vibing, okay? He's just trying to live. Innocent
until proven guilty, and you cannot prove that Bob did anything wrong.
Okay? Has he had a trial?
Yeah. A trial? He needs a jury of his peers.
A jury of his peers. Where are they?
I mean, just saying. We are Team Bob here. Yes. Oh, that was so much fun.
Blast. A blast.
Okay. Now, after this lovely episode, we have more. We have more from Entangled,
we
you guys.
Have more. I just.
I don't know. I feel like we're literally besties with them now.
This is why I'm from where I'm from this week.
Yes. So next week, we will be having Sarah Wolf, the author of Heavenbreaker, on the podcast to talk about the book and whatever else comes up. If it's Harry Styles, maybe it's Harry Styles. Who knows?
Mandy will be so happy. I can sneak him into any conversation. That should be a challenge I have where I bring up Harry Styles in every
interview.
Just to gauge the kind of people we're talking to.
Oh my God.
Imagine we got a Harry hater.
There's a very specific part of last week's episode that kind of came up organically near the end. And I want you to laugh about it when you get there. I hope you do. Because I thought it was funny in the moment. Just remember that last week we recorded on April 25th.
Okay.
That is your clue. That's all. Okay. Anyways, next week we will be talking to Sarah Wolf. We're very excited. I don't have Heavenbreaker with me. It's out. I didn't bring
Mine is on my desk over Mine that way.
Outside. But anyways, it's very
we'll
pretty.
We'll have it on our desk next week.
We will. as with almost all of Red Tower books, it does have sprayed edges that are stunning, beautiful, amazing. So
they're really setting the bar high on like
really
from
are.
The publisher, not special edition.
Yeah. You know? And like I started when I go through Amazon every now and then, they'll give you like recommendations of what you might like. And I've started seeing like other like sprayed edges from publishers. No. I'm like, they're figuring something out.
Hopping on that bandwagon, as you should.
But Red Tangled is killing it, man. They're killing it. I'm loving these edges.
You said Red Tangled, and that's my favorite thing.
Did I? Red Tower?
It just flows so perfectly.
You know what?
Love it.
I love it. Anyways, that's what's coming next week. So stay tuned. And more after that.
Ooh, all right, it's let's time hit for a that spiel.
Yes. So, friends, if you enjoyed this very special double interview episode, first of all, thank you. We loved it too.
Yes.
But also, you can like, follow, and subscribe on whatever platform you are listening to us on. You can also head over to our website, theincoherentfangirl.com, where you can also stream all of our episodes as well as read our blog, which needs to be updated. I promise I'll get to
that.
Yeah,
I'm behind.
It's fine. It's fine. We're busy reading.
I told myself I was going to be laid up healing and that I was going to read all of these books and write all of these blogs. And instead, I could talk about it next week. I was rescuing an abandoned dog most of the week. So
yes, you definitely have a story next week. If you are interested in early access to podcast episode, full video episodes, exclusive bonus content, early announcements, things like that, you can subscribe to our Patreon. Head to theincoherentfangirl.com/Patreon to check that out. And we talked about Bob merch. We also have fangirl merch right now. We don't have.
I need to
merch
work
yet.
On doggy shirts and sweatshirts.
We gotta get doggy stuff, and I really do think we should talk to Mai about some Bob merch. Like, I'm a fan. But if you want to shop the merch that we have right now, you can head to theincoherentfangirl.com/shop. Lots of cute stuff that this one over here designed.
She gets bored with an iPad sometimes, and just.
That's just how life is sometimes.
Yeah.
And if you have any comments, questions, concerns, suggestions, design ideas you want to tell us that were pretty, we will accept all of that in our inbox, theincoherentfangirl@gmail.com. We love hearing from y'all. And one last way to support the podcast is to rate and review on whatever platform you're listening to us on. Please give us your words. We
love to hear your words.
She is at Mandy Perv on all the things.
She's at Ms. Made in China on all the things.
And once you have followed us on social media and you followed the podcast on social media, you can head on over and support our internet besties by doing some self-care, aka shopping. Hey. First stop is herecomesthenerd.com, where you can use code fangirl to get 20% off your first order.
Then you're going to head to onceuponabookclub.com and you're going to subscribe. You're going to buy some book boxes that they have left over, some additional merch, and you're going to use one of our two codes. It doesn't matter which one you use. We love you either way. Can't stack them. Use either Karen 10 or Mandy 10 for 10% off. If you spell Karen wrong, you get no percent off and looks of shame from us.
Ew.
And this, if you're on Patreon, that. Patreons can see.
And once you have not spelled my name incorrectly, you're going to head over to amberdlewis.com. You're going to add 10 of everything to your cart because sharing is caring. And you're going to use code FANGIRL10 and get 10% off of the 10 of everything that you added to your cart. Mm-hmm. Because seriously, you need to. You're going to subscribe to her newsletter and her Patreon, where you will get early access to stuff, arcs. You'll be the first to know about pre-orders for her next series. We love Amber here, so go support our girl.
Then last but not least, we kind of like the show husband this week, even though he did make me drive him to the airport instead of read my book.
That is actually so rude.
But whatever, we'll keep him, I guess.
For now.
So you're going to, after you've listened to this episode, you're going to go listen to the latest episode of The Paranormal Mind, because of timey-wimey things, I could not tell you what that episode is about, because they record in batches and we record weekly. So something spooky and weird. So go subscribe to The Paranormal Mind, rate, review. Then you can follow The Paranormal Mind and Searchers Believe anywhere. And if you go to searchersbelieve.com/shop, you can use code FANGIRL10 for 10% off. All of that merch is either designed by me or the idea was by me and I handed it off to somebody more artistic.
Technically speaking, you designed it. They just did the artwork.
True. And it's only a couple. The rest, I did. Yeah. So searchersbelieve.com/shop, use code FANGIRL10. You'll get 10% off. You'll like and follow them on all the things. They're doing a lot of cool things. They got a lot of really big, really cool announcements coming up, hopefully by the end of the year.
Very exciting.
Crazy things I never would have dreamed of, but now the manifestation is manifestating.
Okay. I would like to just point out, you were not on last week's episode and you haven't listened to it yet, but there is some manifesting happening in last week's episode, and I think you'd really appreciate it. So okay. I will be expecting a text once you have listened to it and we can talk about it.
It's been out for a few weeks by the time you're hearing this, but we did a whole Paranormal Mind episode on manifestation and I didn't know it was coming. Shane was just like, this episode is going to, or the next episode is going to be about manifesting. And I was like, oh, can I tell you about my human design? I'm a manifesting generator and we're going to find out what you guys are. And it's a whole thing.
I love it.
I mean, I'm just saying things happen when you believe they're going to happen and you say them out loud. And you tell the universe and you claim them.
Yep.
We talked to Robbie Couch. We've talked to Adam Silvera. We've talked to Victoria Aveyard. We've talked to Chloe Gong.
Wait. This is the episode where you're supposed to manifest something very important, because I'm going somewhere this weekend to someone.
Oh my God.
I can't believe.
Every corner of the universe, listen and hear me now. Karen is going to meet Todd Amalfi this weekend. Karen is going to give Todd Amalfi a friendship bracelet and show her my tattoo that I have to match Aaron, the love of my fictional life. And Karen is going to, Todd Amalfi is going to want to come on our podcast and talk to us so that I can just give her compliments for half an hour straight about how much I love her, about how much I love Aaron, about how much I love Cyrus, about how much I love Kenji. Todd Amalfi is going to come on this podcast and it's going to be the best day of my life after I got George Bailey. And I guess after I got married. I guess. No, but seriously, Todd Amalfi is going to come on this podcast, manifesting it. Everybody, if you're listening to this, say it out loud. The more people that the universe hears and believe, and we believe this, it's going to happen. It's going to happen.
It's going to happen. It's going to happen. It might. It took us a year to get Victoria and Adam. And if it takes that long, it takes that long. But it's
There's
going to
more
happen.
This Woven Kingdom books coming. I'm just saying.
It's going to happen. We're going to do the thing. It's going to be great.
Oh, I feel
And
like
with
that was the
that,
incoherent fangirl.
thank you for listening.
We love you.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye.
We are sponsored by our friends at Here Comes the Nerd. Pins, stickers, magnets, and more. Here Comes the Nerd has happy art for all fandom-loving hearts. New customers can use coupon code FANGIRL during checkout for 20% off their first order at herecomesthenerd.com. Coupon applies to ready-to-ship items only.